Well, let me tell you a little something about me. When it's Saturday night, I need to blow off some steam. One, two, three, four!
Welcome back to our show. So lovely to have you here. I am Daniel.
That's not how we do it. You're supposed to say, hi, I'm Daniel, and I say, hi, I'm Scott. That's how it starts.
Now, why does it have to start? I mean, I don't think that that's like written in stone somewhere. I thought that maybe I would switch it up a little bit and have a nice, pleasant little intro.
Consistency.
Look, we are welcoming them into our lives. They're welcoming into their lives. There's some statement that I made there that I flubbed, but I'm sure. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Hi,
okay.
Scott.
Hi, Daniel. How are you, darling?
I am doing ducky.
Good. That's excellent. I'm glad you're doing ducky. It's important to be ducky in these times of duckylessness.
It is indeed. You know, Scott, we put out episode one week ago, and already have some reviews on iTunes. I wanted to share this review with you in case you hadn't seen it.
There is no way. There is no way that we already have a review on iTunes.
We do. This one comes in from Graceland Reject, who wrote, imagine if a banana and peanut butter sandwich became sentient and made a podcast. That is how insanely good this is.
Did you write that yourself, or did your husband?
I might have paid someone. No, I didn't write. And you know what? You, the listening audience,
yes.
You could leave a review for us. Also, just go over to iTunes, click on our little show, and leave us a review. Give us some stars and give us a review. We appreciate it. And we'll read them out here on the show. But more importantly, we'll read them in our hearts
yes. And
hold you dear.
And we will absorb the goodness and kindness into our very beings. And it will help us through these rough times.
It will. Did you see that article that in Japan, they have outlawed screaming in amusement parks, and the Japanese minister said you should scream in your heart.
Oh my. How the hell are they going to enforce that if you scream on a ride out? Is that it? It's over?
I don't know. I only read the headline. Sadly, I only read the headline, so I have no knowledge of these. It's much like my general knowledge of life, which is a mile wide and a half inch deep. So it's just...
Yes. Well, you know that it's very, 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 very important to know a little bit about a lot of things. That is until the day I met you. Everything is a song to me. This will become patently clear as we continue. Yes. My life is very musical. And every sentence reminds me of a song. With a song in my heart.
Did you watch Hamilton?
No, have not seen Hamilton because we don't have that Disney doodly-doo.
You don't have Disney Plus? What kind of a Disney fan are you that you don't have Disney Plus?
Well, I'm not really a Disney fan in that sense. I love Disneyland, although what it has become is incredibly sad. But both Drew, my husband and I, grew up with Disneyland being a very, very special, magical, incredible place. And so I hold that very near and dear to my heart. I was never a fan of the cartoons. Mickey Mouse just annoyed the fuck out of me. I liked Donald because I related. But Mickey bored the fuck out of me. And also every single one of the movies, because I was such an oversensitive pussy mama's boy, every goddamn one of their movies, the mother's dying. And I couldn't deal with it. So my parents eventually said, let's not show these movies to this kid. He's not taking it well. And then when I grew up, I fell in love with The Little Mermaid, but that's really, I think, the only Disney... This is not even on the thing that we were going to discuss.
No, it's not, but it's okay. It's okay.
We're kind of like tangenting.
We're tangenting, but it's okay. Yeah. Did you know that Disneyland is turning 65 this year?
I know. They are a year older than I am. They opened in 55. I opened, actually, my mother opened, in 56 for me. That's the closest I ever want to be to one of those again. But seriously.
The The little bit of housekeeping before we go on to our main little nuggets of fun here.
Oh, yeah. Nuggets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nuggets. Yeah. Okay. Is we started off our podcasting endeavor very brightly on anchor.fm. That was long lived.
Those
all
dirty
of, what,
mother 40? Fucking sex as shit. Those dirty
48 hours.
Shit. Cunt.
I here's what it's my fault. What I did was I knew
no,
from
it's your
my
fault.
Previous.
Not my fault. It isn't mine at all. Okay.
It's I realized from my previous podcasting experience
that was actually Into the Woods, which actually they made a Disney made a movie out of Into the Woods and did it justice, which I'm shocked
and,
as
yeah,
all fuck.
James,
go ahead.
James Corden was in Into the Woods as the baker, and as a callback to Hamilton during the Tony Awards where James Corden was hosting and Hamilton won all the awards, they did an opening number of Hamilton where the line was, they need a rule breaker, a troublemaker, they need the chubby guy from In the Woods that played the baker.
Isn't that clever? Finding those rhymes. It's
okay,
just
well,
amazing.
Fuck Anchor FM. It's what we're basically trying to. No, so what happened is.
That's it. They're dirty bastard motherfucking sacks of dog shit that they wormy dog. Not even just regular dog shit. I'm talking the kind that has worms crawling in and out of it. Dog shit. And it smells bad and flies are going crazy.
I needed to put a placeholder for our podcast so that it could get submitted to the different directories. And so I said, oh, well, I have our lovely theme song. I'll just put that up there just as a placeholder. And then I deleted it and put up our actual episode when we were done with it. Well, in the meantime, they heard
in between
the theme
time,
song.
Ain't we got fun?
They heard the theme song and they were like, oh, you're a music podcast. We don't support that. And they deleted our account. So it was kind of one of those like, no, there was no appeal. There was no like, hey, why don't you talk to us? Like, hey, we've suspended. No, they just deleted everything. So screw them. Screw Anchor FM.
Yeah.
We're now living over on Podbean. In case you were curious, it doesn't matter to you. You can always find us at our website, but it doesn't matter. We are now at Podbean. That means nothing to you, but welcome to all of our Podbeaners out there and the internet.
Oh, whoa, that's going to have to go. That's going to have to go. I had a Podbean removed back in 1978. It was very painful, but I'm feeling much better now. Yeah. So anyway, Disney. Yeah. Oh, no, we're
Disney,
done with
turning
Disney,
65.
We
were I still find it odd that you don't have Disney. Do you have any interest in seeing Hamilton?
You know what? To be perfectly frank,
I thought you were Scott.
Every
now you're Frank?
No, I'm well, I go sometimes I'm Frank. When I'm really fun is when I'm Sissy. But let me tell you, everybody in there and their uncle who has even like sniffed Hamilton has gone insanely crazy for how wonderful it is. And that is mm-hmm. always incredibly troubling for me because when I hear thousands of people talk about how wonderful something is, my expectations get set very high. And then I inevitably look at it and go, eh. And so instead of looking at it and going, eh, I thought, you know what? I want to give it a long time. I want to give it so that the Hamilton thing dies down, so that nobody's talking about Hamilton, and I'll sneak in and see it. I've done a lot of, I've viewed a lot of things like that, and it's worked very well for me. And we're happy, we have, as far as Disney Plus or whatever in the hell it is, we have Netflix.
It is Disney Plus, you have Netflix.
We have Amazon Prime. And I have
really
YouTube.
Count because you have Amazon Prime because of the shipping. You happen to have the video tacked on for free, but you would pay for Amazon
Absolutely.
Prime if there was no video. I'm just
well, don't tell Jeff that. But yeah, I absolutely would pay for just the shipping because we get every friggin' thing in the world shipped to us. Everything
true
shipped, including and now we get grocery delivery too. So don't ask, don't tell.
I will. So you have Netflix, you have Amazon Prime.
And
it?
YouTube.
Oh,
yes.
Well,
that's it.
YouTube and Premium or YouTube?
No, just regular YouTube because the way I use YouTube
you don't pay
is
that.
That I... No. No,
I'm just
darling,
asking for things that
please.
You subscribe to. Yeah.
Then
so
Netflix?
So Netflix is your only monthly expenditure for those subscriptions, for those OTT subscriptions.
OTT?
Over the top is what they call those, darling. It's a very inside industry term that I know.
Over the top. What the what does that mean? Why
that
is
means
it,
that
it
doesn't
the
come
top?
In, it doesn't come in through the cable traditionally. It doesn't come in over the airwaves or through your traditional cable. It comes over the internet.
Oh.
It comes over the top. It's content.
See, look at this.
That's coming in through a secondary channel. It's
look
also
at this.
Used to be called VOD, video on demand.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can't believe that I'm still learning. You know, I'm still learning after
well,
all these years.
Bless your heart.
Yes.
Bless your
still create. Is that a Southern bless your heart?
That is.
After
bless
all
your heart.
These
learning.
Years.
So yeah. Well, I was just going to say I do happen to have you know Disney Plus, and I could theoretically because you can have six members of your family, so I could add you as a family member so that you could watch Hamilton. But if you here's the thing, Hamilton is a very dense musical. It is at some songs are going at like six words a second. And it is very dense. It's a very good movie. And Zach and I had completely different views of the film because I had already heard the soundtrack and knew the soundtrack, which is the kind of the movie, I mean, the play. So
yes.
I was able to finally see the staging of what I had already known. He was coming in fresh and didn't know. So he was hit not only with a very complex staging, but also just a wall of words that, you know, he was having to sort through. And that seems to be the most prevalent complaint about Hamilton is that I couldn't understand what they were saying. It just went too fast. So my suggestion to anyone watching Hamilton, anyone that wants to watch Hamilton, listen to the soundtrack two or three times first. Use whatever music subscription service you have. Listen to the soundtrack of Hamilton and understand the story before you go and watch it. Which I would say that having lived near New York City and gone to musicals all the time, I would say that
New
about
York
any musical,
City.
Make sure you know the musicals first before you go there. You'll enjoy them more.
Yeah.
So we've covered we've covered three things off of our doodly doo.
No way. No,
yeah.
we don't have a doodly doo. You and Zach have a doodly doo on your YouTube channel. We don't have a doodly doo here.
Oh, that's right.
Our,
no, that's the doobly doo. Yeah, that's the doobly
yeah.
doo, which we stole from Wheezy Waiter. But no, this is we're using Trello, but we're using it in a nice, I thought, a very logical way. You can either agree with me or not. You've seen it, so is it laid out okay?
Basically, it's like almost like a message board. I think the most simplistic.
Yeah, but I've got nice little color codes on there. Like, see, Anchor FM said rant on it. It had a nice little red tag on it that said
I know.
Rant.
Did you notice I entitled a purple?
I did. That on what we're going to talk about later. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. But what I did.
Did we want to talk about our YouTube channels that we couldn't talk about last time because we went over time last time, or do we not want to do that?
We could, or I could use that sound in a future cheesecake episode. Remember how the Golden Girls would occasionally have that episode where they'd have cheesecake and they'd play, you know, clips and whatnot? I figured it's evergreen enough. It's a cute, it's an endearing story. It's an endearing story about how Drew came up with the term cruisies and then some other little YouTube being recognized anecdote. Yeah, we'll just save it for another time. But all you need to know, dear listener, is that we are both huge YouTube stars. I on the WDW Aristocrats channel and, of course, Scott over
I
on
have
the
two.
Crystal Cruiser Guys.
I have two, though. I have AntiVeraCharles50AntiIE. And Crystal Cruiser Guys. I separated the two because I wanted Crystal Cruiser Guys just to be about cruises. And the other channel is everything else, including I displayed some of the miniature work that I have been doing while we're in quarantine.
Which is no different for you. You're always.
Yes.
Is there really a difference between your life in quarantine and your life
prior
to that?
No. Except I don't get to go to Dollar
Tree.
Drew
doesn't leave as
really
much.
Really? Drew works in his office downstairs, and he goes outside a lot, but he loves to garden and do that kind of shit. I don't like bugs.
I love the garden.
Look
garden.
At you. Look at you. See the infection.
We're like synchronizing our periods now.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, I grew up with a mother and two sisters, so I know about all that. All of a sudden, the trash cans would be filled with all of this odd stuff. No.
Speaking
up,
of growing up,
yes.
When I grew up, What kind of a statement? What kind of a segue is that? What kind of crap segue is that?
Don't criticize yourself, Daniel, because there are enough people in the world who will criticize you. We need to stop self-criticizing. Let me do it. What a stupid segue. That was the dumbest thing you've ever fucking said. Okay, go ahead.
It kind of ties back to the Hamilton thing, and this is one of the lines out of Hamilton is, you don't get to choose who lives, who dies, or who tells your story. And it got me thinking about my father, who I'm sure you are aware of this. I idolized my father. He was, I loved him. He died about 6 years ago. But one thing, this memory that I have of growing up is that no matter what my dad ate at the table, it would always sound really good. He had some way of making everything sound kind of crunchy. And it made a noise when he ate
crunchy.
It.
Crunchy.
Yeah, so like a sandwich, you know, he'd like... And so my brother and I, in order to emulate this, would put crunchy things on our sandwich. Like we would put like pork rinds or potato chips or, tortilla chips. Any kind of thing we could put on our sandwich so that when we ate it, it would... Because we were trying to emulate his eating. And I realized the other day, because now that we've been working from home since March and I make my lunch every day at home, I still do.
You make crunchy sandwiches.
I still have to put something on my sandwich to make it crunchy because I was trying to imitate my dad growing up. So I have these noisy sandwiches. And as it turns out, Zach hates ice chewing and noisy.
I'm with Zach in that, but I think you should address this with a professional, because I really don't have the credentials to deal with the depth of this. We can talk right over each other. It doesn't matter.
Yes, but I'm editing, so I can take your track down.
You're a dirty bastard.
Here's the thing. I had a roast beef sandwich with some lovely horseradish sauce on it barbecue pork rinds and mozzarella cheese.
Now, I hate pork rinds, but I would love that sandwich with barbecued potato chips.
Yeah,
on
like
it.
Lay's. We're on keto, so it's like pork rinds have no carbs. So it's like,
honey, if you're having a sandwich, you're not on keto.
Oh, no, we use zero carb bread, so it's the Aldi zero carb bread.
There's no such thing.
Actually, it has one carb per slice, but yes, it is. Keep in mind, keto is just less than 30 grams a day. 30 grams.
No. Yes. We could debate keto a lot, because my sister has lived it for four or five mm-hmm. years strict, mm-hmm. talking strict keto,
Do
you do net carbs?
Yes.
Then you're not doing keto. There's no such thing as net carbs, because something has fiber and you count the carb away with the fiber. That's all bullshit. It's all, and I don't want to sound opinionated here.
Yeah, no, not at all. No, you don't sound it. You don't sound.
I know. I want to be gentle.
It would be impossible for an outsider to ascertain what your view of it was.
And I was so funny as I was laying in bed this morning, which I do a lot, and I was thinking about the fact that we were going to be recording today, and I said to myself two things. I said, first of all, because I listened several times to our last episode with great joy. I just plugged it in and kept listening to it. It was so much fun to me. But I thought to myself, you're cursing an awful lot, Scott. And that really, when I listen to podcasts and someone is saying fuck every other word, it bugs me. It starts to bug me. And I thought, and as I listened to our last show, I thought I was being vulgar an awful lot. So I thought, don't be vulgar so much. And also, this go round, don't be so goddamned opinionated about everything. Say it soft. Say it gently. Mm-hmm. Say it with a concept of, I could be wrong, but... And right. So that's... See how much... I've said fuck 94 times already, and I just blasted my opinion. And I spit
microphone. It would be impossible for anyone to ask you. You did it so well. Yeah, I didn't know what you felt about it at all. I'm going to put it on the board. We'll talk about keto on a future show.
Okay. Because, I did keto prior to our last cruise. It was amazing, mm-hmm. in that I lost more weight quickly, but more importantly, I was never hungry. Yes. That's the amazing thing about this diet, or this, I guess you'd have to have it as a lifestyle because you can't suddenly start
Zach and
eating.
I have been doing keto for 2.5, going on 3 years. Yeah, so a little over 2.5 years, that we've been doing keto. And we just passed two years. We just passed.
So you eat zero carb bread, and pork rinds. Oh God, I tried that when I was doing keto. When Drew and I were doing keto prior to our last cruise, the pork rinds were suggested, and I thought I ate one and thought I'm not going to keep anything down that I've eaten since a child. Everything that I have eaten since a child is going. It tasted like rancid fat to me. Now, I don't want to sound opinionated, but I'm not a fan of pork rinds. Okay, not a fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not gonna do that thing people do. Where like, well, you just didn't have the right pork rinds, or you would have liked the ones that I had because I know about pork rinds. I won't do that. I'll just say, okay, you don't like pork rinds, more for me. That's good. Now, along that same line, though, there is a topic that you and I have revisited numerous times over the course of our friendships. We have more than one. Yeah, we had more than one. It was kind of like, earlier when we just had the one headline. Callback 7 only had the one headline. You and I have had multiple friendships.
Seven.
Yeah.
Callback 7.
It's a callback.
Callback 7.
It's callback 1. So we've had this discussion numerous times over the years of my dislike of black and white movies.
Oh, and yes.
You are visibly sometimes very upset at me for not liking black and white movies. And so I've spent a fair amount of time soul searching on this and going like, okay, well, what is it? What exactly is it that I don't like? Cause I watch black and white TV shows. I like, Bewitched, the old black and white versions of Bewitched and Gilligan's Island, things that I used to watch after school as a kid. I remember we had a black and white TV in the house and I could watch black and white TV shows. I didn't have a problem. So it's not the lack of color on the movie. It is, I think it boils down to the style of acting that just doesn't read to me to be as genuine or something, or just how they're edited. Regardless, you suggested that Citizen Kane was a masterpiece.
Yes.
And that it holds up. And so after that conversation with you, I went on to Amazon and purchased Citizen Kane. And I was like, you know what? When I sober up, of course, we'll watch this movie and, because it was a drunken conversation that we had, right? So this impulse buy, the Citizen Kane impulse. So I purchased the movie and I watched it the next day. And I didn't hate it, but I didn't get what would have made it a masterpiece. So in order to research it further, I watched a documentary on either Netflix or Amazon, one of them, about Orson Welles that kind of went over the whole Citizen Kane and about what it is. So it had Steven Spielberg narrating in it and some other movie people narrating in it about, Orson Welles and what made him such a genius or whatever. And I feel like what they said had validity, right? It was, Citizen Kane was the first movie to have like that continuous panning establishing shot. And prior to his film, movies didn't have a lot of depth of field. And so he did a lot of visual tricks to give his movie a lot of depth of field and everything. And so I understand it from a technological standpoint, but I didn't know any of that. I didn't grow up with that, seeing that clip. Like if I was a kid now, I know I'm talking a lot. If I was a
you
kid
are.
Now.
Do I get a chance to respond to this?
Should I just sit back for a moment? Yes, you do. But
or
I'm just going to
make, myself a drink.
I'm going to make this one point. If I was a kid now and had never lived prior to Jurassic Park, I wouldn't understand what it was about having a CGI rendered character inside of a moving scene that made it so special and opened up a whole new world for movies to be able to tell different kinds of stories.
A whole new world.
So I'm wondering, is it just that because I was ignorant to what movies were like before Citizen Kane, that I didn't appreciate the strides that it made that then made future movies better. I'll shut up now. You can tell me what am I not getting? Yes.
It's my turn now.
It's your turn.
It's my turn. Okay.
Oh, we're out of time. First, all right. We thank you for joining us this week.
So thank you. Yes. Okay. Here's the deal. You have every right in the world to feel exactly the way you feel. I have nothing to say about that. I truly don't. It's another thing I was thinking about. If you don't like them, you don't like them. If you don't see the magic in them, that's just you. You know, I don't see the magic in some of the movies that you told me that you like. So it's so very, very subjective. Yes. But as in whole, and I say this, if you are a student of cinema, if you are a fan of cinema beyond just watching, in other words, if you're into how the direction was done, how the shots were set up, if you watch a movie that way, you're watching it very differently. I also mm-hmm. want to address what you said about stylized acting. Mm-hmm. It was a different world. When you watch another brilliant, brilliant black and white film noir is Fred McMurray and Barbara Stanwyck in Double Indemnity. It is a magnificent example of film noir, one of the best. That and Maltese Falcon, two film noir masterpieces. If you look at the acting and compare it to today, yes, it's different. It's stylized because society was so different back then. What could be represented as the norm, even though none of that really existed in real life. No wife wore pearls and heels when her husband came home from work to make dinner and kiss him and raise one leg behind her. That didn't happen. You know, they had shit in their hair and dust from vacuuming, and they were pissed off because the kids
farted all day long. Don't tell Adam Burns that, because he believes that Donna Reed actually, yeah, like that does exist.
Love Adam Burns. So there is, if you look at it as, I want to see realism, I want to see realistic interchanges, no, you're not going to get that in films that were made in 1940 and 1930. However, when you look at Citizen Kane is so beautifully put together and, like you said, has shots. He cut into the floor so that he could place the camera completely beneath people. So the scene that you're seeing, you're looking up and you're seeing the person from the knees up. This wasn't done before, or it wasn't done with any regularity. So every shot was fascinating. I don't know. I love the film. It's not my favorite film that's ever been made. It isn't, but that's once again when we go to the subjective. What touched me in a film is not Citizen Kane. I love Citizen Kane. I love the mystery. See, that he set up a mystery from the very, very beginning, which keeps you, it's like when you read a book.
Yes.
Stephen King is very good at setting up a mystery, and you have to turn the damn pages because you want to find out what is this about? Now, did you, and don't say it because maybe people have not seen it, but did you previously know the answer to the mystery of Citizen Kane?
Thanks to The Simpsons and other pop culture references, yes, I did.
Okay, because that's very sad. When you're viewing that movie for the first time, you should not know the answer to that mystery, because it's one of the things that engages you in the film. What is this about? What is that? What does that word mean? Why was that his dying word? Anyway, now I'm talking too much because I'm belaboring a point. Here's the point.
Go ahead. Do your point.
And I believe this is the point in the bottom line. You will love what you love. I will love what I love. And trying to convince another person to love something is folly. It's like trying to convince a Christian that there was no Jesus. It's folly. You can't do it.
It is. But at the same time, it's like, I respect your opinion. It's like, I wanted to see, you know, you and Drew spoke so highly of the film, I was just like, okay. But now my question is, because you said it wasn't your favorite film, I told you what my favorite film was. What is your favorite film?
To me, the greatest film that I have ever seen and is about near as perfection as you can get is Bob Fosse's Cabaret. Liza Minnelli and Joel Grey and Michael York. I think that movie is as close to perfect as a movie can get. Bob Fosse was just a brilliant, brilliant director. And he was at the top of his game in this film. Right. To be able to make a musical where the musical numbers are not...
Make a musical, because nothing is exciting as a musical. That's from Something Rotten, by the way. Okay. I will actually go and watch this movie. I will find this movie, this Liza, what's her name? Liza Bedelli? Liza something? I'm
Lisa
not sure.
Minnelli.
Lisa Minnelli. I'll find this movie, this cabaret movie, and I will watch it. And now, you know, I told you my favorite movie was Buckaroo Banzai Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension. So I would also similarly put that challenge out to you to watch Buckaroo Banzai Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension.
Well, I had actually saw that film when it came out. I don't remember much.
Did you watch it in the theater?
I believe I watched it in the theater, yes.
In the theater.
I believe so. Because it was, what year was it?
Oh, early 80s? Mid 80s, somewhere.
It had to be early 80s because I think I was working at the studio that produced it at the time. I was working at that studio.
That was the movie that introduced me to John Lithgow, and he was so genius in his bad guy portrayal of John Big Booty. No, not John, John Worfen. His sidekick was John Big Booty, which he kept insisting.
Now, if I can find it on Netflix or Prime, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to pay for it.
We are running up against a clock, but we have a big topic that. So I don't know what you want to do. Do you want to talk about a smaller topic and talk about this bigger topic next week, or do you want to?
I think we should talk about the smaller topic, and because I know that crunchy sandwiches took up an awfully long time.
I'm so sorry. I apologize for that. You know what?
No, don't apologize. It's very sweet. It's very sweet. Here's why it's sweet, Daniel, because how much you love your dad, and at that time that you guys wanted to emulate him, and one of the ways that you did it was make your sandwiches crunchy, is very endearing and very sweet. So don't apologize for that.
Talking about older movies here, and I had this thought about these older movies that I put up here. You and I spent a considerable amount of time going through different show names, coming up with different show names. And then after we've decided on the show name, then we had to come up with, okay, well, how do we make a logo for this? Like, what, you know, what's the artwork for the show that we're going to use? And similarly, Adam and I are doing the same thing with our new show, right? So we went through a whole bunch of titles for this new show, and then we had to, you know, make some artwork for the new show. And it all got me to thinking.
This is other than Dubious Intent you're talking? You have another show with
Adam? Yeah, Dubious Intent has ended. Adam and I are doing a new show called Mix Minus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that, but I...
You can find it at mixminuspodcast.com.
Wow.
But if you're still subscribed to Dubious Intent, that feed will still work for a few weeks as we tell you guys about how to subscribe to the new show. It just came to a thing. We needed to refresh some stuff. So still Adam and I, we're just changing up some themes and changing up some segments. It's really boring. You can hear about it over there. But what it did make me think of was, do you remember those movies with the Bond villains?
Oh, of course. I love James Bond movies.
Do you remember everyone would make that joke about, you know, he's out on this volcano island out there and he somehow, you know, got 800 matching yellow jumpsuits for his minions and stuff like that, right? And it's like, so I was thinking about those jokes and I'm like, that's not hard, right? You could just go bulk buy some jumpsuits. That's not hard. The real thing is, how the fuck did those villains come up with their logos that they put all over these buildings? And it's like, does he have like a graphics design department like somewhere in his organization? Like, this is before, you know, Photoshop and whatnot. So he had to have people like actually draw the logo and then, I don't really like, can we do that in a different color? What is like, how much time did these villains spend?
Maybe we should talk about the big topic. I don't know, Daniel. I guess, you know, that you could, because I think all of these people were, and the most egregious of this is probably the original film, Dr. No, on the volcano island with 40,000 people down there all dressed alike. But at least one of them would have some artistic talent and be able to draw a logo. Jesus, God, this is
just
sad.
Like, look, guys. Yeah. I don't want this missile that's going to destroy the Earth to look like crap.
Yes, so make it pretty.
So there's a contest now. It's like, whichever one of you minions submits the winning logo.
I won't shoot you.
Like one minion named Boris, he's like, that's my logo. It's my contribution. Yes. It's my logo.
I get to sit closer up to the boss because I drew that.
I'm the favored minion.
Okay. God, that was wow. Yeah, but you know, the thing is, Daniel.
Yes.
I love James Bond movies. I love them. And my favorite, who's your favorite Bond? This should be very telling.
My favorite Bond, I'm going to tell you, you're going to laugh, but then I'll tell you why.
No, I will not laugh. Stop judging me and judging you.
Roger Moore. Because
no, yes.
It was a thing with my mom. My mom and I would, she loved James Bond movies. So that was the one movie that we would always go and see with her as we were younger adults, like when I was like late teenage.
That's the first woman I've ever heard in my life who likes James Bond movies.
Oh, she loves them. Yeah, she loved them. And so every time there was a new Bond film, I would take mom to go see the movie and she would go, you know, she loved seeing the Bond film. So we went through Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton and
Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot him. And then Daniel Craig. Yeah, so that was kind of where we started. I hadn't seen any of the ones prior to Roger Moore, so he was my first Bond.
So you never saw Sean Connery as James Bond?
I've seen it now, but at that, you know, my first Bond that I experienced in a theater was Roger Moore.
I wonder if we are not, we as a society, as a group of individuals, are not, if we don't have a proclivity to react to the very first of something that we have seen. In other words, have a bias.
Yes,
a bias towards the first thing. Because to me, I saw Dr. No in a theater. I saw Goldfinger and From Russia with Love and all of the James Bond movies in a theater and was absolutely enthralled, but it was Sean Connery. When Roger Moore came along, the writing changed because Roger Moore was much more tongue-in-cheek than Sean Connery was. Sean Connery took it very seriously, although he played, but he took it very seriously. Roger Moore always did everything with a wink and a nod.
Yeah, it was very campy. Yeah.
Yeah, and so the writing became that, and the gadgets and the situations became campy, and then they tried to serious it up later on with other people, and until finally this last incarnation, I think Daniel Craig is wonderful as Bond, but if you notice, there's not much funny about those movies. God, he's sitting in a chair getting his balls beaten up by a guy with a rope and a thing, and oh my Lord, and you just look at it and go,
I haven't gone and seen a Bond film since my mom has gotten Alzheimer's, so because we can't watch movies together anymore, so I actually haven't really watched any of the later Bond films, like within the last 4 or 5 years. So,
well, I only see them on either Netflix or Prime. I don't pay for anything.
Well, now I know that there's some ball torture in there, and thank you for ruining that film for me, Scott. Thank you.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. But I think there's always room for ball torture. It's too bad that we don't name our shows after, like you did, you used to do with whatever the last thing
is. Yeah, the title, yeah,
there's always room for ball torture, but no, we have another
on that note. I think on that note, we should thank you for joining us today, and we will talk to you again next week.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you would like to contact the show, use our email, contact@thatdarnelvis.com. You can also visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/thatdarnelvis.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 40 Fuck Me Whole. This podcast is a proud member of Pride 48. Go to pride48.com.